to their lips. Again, that's a quote from Psalm chapter 140. I'll turn there and read it. You don't necessarily need to, but Psalm 140, Paul again is referencing David speaking back there, and we find the same thing that we're talking about. David is contrasting their conversation from his conversation. And he says in Psalm 140 in verse number 3, "They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips." David here is talking about his enemies, talking about the enemies of God. And he said their tongue, under their tongue, is like a adder's poison, a serpent's poison. You've got to be careful in this world we live in, because their mouths are just like this. The throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Like a snake, the tongue is piercing. The tongue is poisonous. And until it's changed by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the tongue can produce nothing else. We need a change. See, a lot of folks say, well, if I change the outside, if I change my behavior, then everything will be all right. No, your problem's not on the outside. Your problem's on the inside. Your throat, your mouth, your lips. That's where the problem starts. Paul's going to get to the feet and the ways. Those are the outward things, but he starts at the beginning. Jesus told those Pharisees, he said, "You may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but inside you're full of extortion and all manner of wickedness." So Paul begins by describing the sinner from the inside, saying it's their throat, it's their tongue, it's their lips. He says in verse number 14, "whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." Can I say this? It should not astound us. It should not surprise us that the world is vulgar, that the world is nasty, that the world's conversation is dirty, that they get more enjoyment and laughter out of that which God would consider wrong than they do that which God would consider right. It's not surprising. That's what's coming from inside of them. Their throat, their lips, their tongue, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Again, that's a quote from Psalm chapter 10, verse number 7. For time's sake, we'll not turn there. But David is taking that verse from the Old Testament, or Paul is taking it from the Old Testament, putting it into the New Testament context, and saying that their mouths are full of cursing and deceit and fraud. That's what it says in Psalm 10. Cursing and deceit and fraud. The natural man, at his best state, is altogether vanity. And nothing that comes out of his mouth is going to be pleasing to God. He needs God in his life. And not putting on a coat, not putting on a church, not putting on religion, not putting on good behavior, the problem's down in here. And until he comes by faith to Jesus Christ to be born again as a new creature and be what the Bible calls regenerated, made new and alive in Christ, there's nothing he can do that's pleasing to God. He's utterly corrupt from the inside out. So that talks about his wicked words, our conversation. Now in verse number 15, we talk about the wicked walk. What is inside affects what's outside. It's not the other way around. Again, religion teaches if my walk is all right, then my soul will be all right. The Bible teaches that if your soul is all right, then your walk will be all right. So religion, the world's got it all backwards, and that's nothing new. That's nothing astounding. All the religions of the world are based on outward things. Christianity is based on inward. It has to start with a change of heart. It has to start with a new birth. So notice verse 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Their feet are swift to shed blood. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 59, verse number 8, it puts the word innocent. Their feet are swift to shed innocent blood. And without getting sidetracked too much, can I say there's no more innocent blood than a baby in a womb? No more innocent blood than an unborn child. And those of us that are parents and grandparents, we can't even conceive of taking that seed, that which is planted and made by God in the womb, and eliminating it. And America's been guilty, and we've been guilty of shedding innocent blood. Man's first sin outside of the garden, man's first sin was taking the fruit from the tree. But after he was expelled from the garden as a society now, in a fallen state, the first sin was when Cain slew his brother Abel. So man's first sin outside of the garden was murder. It started with the murder of Cain and Abel, a man killing his brother. Look where we are now in 2016. Again, abortion, mothers killing their children, even after they've been born, putting them in a dryer, putting them in a parked car and letting them into the lake because the new boyfriend doesn't want the kids from the other husband or whatever. We live in a wicked society, and I'm not picking on women. Men are no better than that. Every time we pick up the paper, every time we turn on the news, we're waiting to hear who's been killed next. In our day and age of terrorism, it's just multiplied. Instead of one at a time, it's multiples at a time. And it's just an indication that man without God, that's the direction we're going. When the insides are corrupt, that's what's going to be on the outside, and we're just shedding blood right and left all over the place. It's a result of not having an inward change. You know how to bring peace to the world? Not going to be through the United Nations. We tried that in 1945. We've had more wars since then than we ever had before that. We've had more people died in combat since the United Nations came into being than there were in 2,000 years before that. So that's not the answer. The only answer to bring peace to this world is to have the Prince of Peace, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, if everybody got saved and made Him Prince of Peace in their life, we'd have world peace right now. But as you know, that's not going to happen, so there's not going to be world peace till He comes back and sits on the throne of David, and then there will be world peace. But until then, their feet are swift to shed blood. Verse number 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Can I say this? We're going downhill. We're going down the ladder again. We started on the inside, the throat and the lips and the mouth, and it's full of cursings. Now we've come to the outside, exemplifying what's on the inside. The outside simply carrying out what's on the inside. And what starts with that? Their feet, swift to shed innocent blood, which leads to destruction and misery in all of their ways. The world does not have a solution for the world's problems. The politicians do not have a solution for the real problem of the world. Now, they think the problems are different things. They don't have the real problem in view. The real problem is man's fallen nature. And politicians can't fix that. And nobody else can fix that other than God. So because of that inside corruptness that leads their feet to be swift to shed blood, now destruction and misery are in their ways. Again, Paul is quoting from the Old Testament here in Isaiah 59. When he said, their feet are swift to shed innocent blood, that was from the first half of Isaiah 59:7. When he says, destruction and misery are in their ways, it's from the last half of verse of Isaiah 59:7. Paul, again, is taking those verses and applying them to man's utter corruptness. I came across this quote when I was studying for this lesson. More inhumanity has been done by man himself than any other of man's causes. You know, you look at the hurricanes, earthquakes, all the natural, what we call natural disasters, all those that have ever happened in world history. And far, far, far fewer people have perished from those than from man's inhumanity to man. Now that quote is by, you know, you remember Samuel von Pufendorf. You remember him, right? Back in the 1600s. 1673, somebody said that. The reason I put that quote and that date is to realize that's 350 years ago, and somebody said that. Now, he was a political thinker, is what they called him back in those days. A lot of our founding fathers drew information from him as far as shaping our government and things like that. He was a political thinker. But back then, he said, more inhumanity has been done by man himself than any other of nature's causes. Man's inhumanity to man. Why? Because destruction and misery are in their ways. They're just carrying out what's on the inside. Verse 17, we go down another notch. And the way of peace have they not known. You know why? Because their feet are swift to shed blood. Because misery and destruction are in their ways. So the way of peace they have not known. It's foreign to them. There is no peace, the Bible says, saith my God to the wicked. There's no peace, saith the Lord. Isaiah 59 verse 8 again is what he's quoting here. The way of peace have they not known. Man's thorough sinfulness. The throat, the lips, we'll get to the eyes, the heart, everything. Because man is utter depraved, how's he going to have peace? How's he going to have happiness? You know what all the violence is? Because somebody else has something we want. Somebody else has land that we want. Somebody else has oil that we want. Somebody else has this that we want. Somebody else has freedom that we want. Whatever it is, that's the basis for war. And the way of peace have they not known. Then verse 18 brings us down to the conclusion. You see it in bold print there. Verse 15, the problem is their feet are swift to destruction. The problem is, the result is destruction and misery are in their ways. The result or the conclusion is, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. This is what happens when a sinner gets completely hardened against God. When it's on the inside, and it begins to live out on the outside, and they get farther and farther from God, they get to the point where there is no fear of God before their eyes. Thank God a lot of the people you and I deal with, our friends, our relatives, our co-workers, those that we talk to, those that we invite to church, those that we talk to about the Lord, have not gotten to that end result yet. They're still somewhere in that ladder. Yes, they're sinners by nature, sinners by choice. But God can still speak to their heart and they can still come to a saving faith in Christ because they haven't reached the end of that road yet. But there are many of us that we know that are so hardened and so stiff-necked that they've gotten to that place where there's no fear of God. I don't care. I want to go to hell. That's where all my friends are going to be. Just insanity. Just crazy talk. 1 second in hell, and they're going to change their mind of everything they said when there was no fear of God before their eyes. When I read that verse, I think about, again, these noted atheists. I think about Christopher Hitchens, who died with just a hard heart against God, using his throat and his mouth to blaspheme God and to curse God and to defile God, and in front of other people, get paid audiences as he blaspheme God and made fun of God and called Jesus Christ all kinds of ungodly things, only to die of throat cancer. And as I told you before, in the midst of that saying, if you ever hear that Christopher Hitchens repented on his deathbed, that he came to faith in God, just know this, that the cancer reached my brain and I didn't know what I was doing. Say what? No fear of God before their eyes. Just a hard heart. That's the natural course of a man without God. And the only thing that changes that direction is not man putting on a new coat and saying, okay, I'm going to start going to church now, or I'm going to start living a better life, or I'm going to turn over. That's not going to help because the problem starts inside. The only solution is that is faith in Jesus Christ that works from the heart outward. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means new, regenerated inside out. That's the only hope. Paul is talking about the way of sinners. The sinner does that which is right in his own eyes without any regard for God. The book of Judges tells us that. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. We're getting into a world that's like that today. A world of lawlessness. Why? Because man by nature is a sinner. And only by faith in Jesus Christ can anything be changed. Paul is taking it. Paul is describing the utter hopelessness. When we end there in verse number 18, there's no fear of God. The floor has dropped out. The bottom's dropped out. And there's no hope. But then in verse number 19, he's going to start introducing us to the way of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's got to convince them of their sin before they're ready for salvation. It's the same way with the world today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the thoroughness of the Word of God. Father, this book